Hello, I'm Jennifer Kenyon from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and I will be presenting this poster. This work studies the distribution of cesium-137, strontium-90, and iodine-129 in surface seawater off the coast of Japan as a result of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant accident. We use compiled monitoring data from the Japan Atomic Energy Agency, or JAEA, as well as oceanographic cruise data analyzed by our labs in order to understand the sources and relative inputs of these radionuclides off the coast of Japan. All the work on this poster is explained in further detail in Kenyon et al. 2020, published in Environmental Science and Technology, which is publicly available. Section 1, Introduction. We have chosen to look at these three radionuclides because they have the potential to be oceanographic tracers, meaning that they can help us understand the movement of water from the coast of Japan into the greater Pacific Ocean and beyond. Cesium-137 is a volatile and particle-reactive radionuclide with a conservative or constant relationship with seawater. Cesium-137 had a large atmospheric release as a result of the accident, and previous studies have found it within the reactor and in surrounding beaches. Unlike cesium-137, strontium-90 is non-volatile and less particle reactive, and previous studies have found strontium-90 sourced from the reactor site and associated water storage tanks. Both cesium-137 and strontium-90 have a half-life of 30 years, which means that after 30 years of being in ocean water, half of the initial radiation remains. Iodine-129 is highly soluble and mobile, and has a large atmospheric residence time and deposition. It has a half-life of roughly 15.7 million years, but was released in orders of magnitude amounts lower than cesium-137 and strontium-90. Section 2. Data. Figure 1 shows data from two cruises off the coast of Japan in 2015 and 2016. The Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Plant, or FDNPP, is labeled as a gray box. The highest concentrations of the radionuclides we measured were located in the waters close to the FDNPP. Farther from the FDNPP, we observed seawater that had low concentrations that were similar to pre-accident conditions. Section 3, Results. Figure 2 illustrates the concentrations of cesium-137 and strontium-90 from the accident until 2017 from surface seawater off the coast of the FDNPP. Continued seawater monitoring of cesium-137 and strontium-90 show a steady decrease in these radionuclides over time, though concentrations above pre-accident values are still occasionally observed through 2017. We also observed the change in the relative ratio between cesium-137 and strontium-90 through time, which is variable and shows us the changing nature of radionuclide releases from the FDNPP. Figure 3 shows the cesium to strontium, iodine to cesium, and iodine to strontium ratios from the two cruises from Figure 1. The average ratios of these radionuclides vary widely from year to year and give us insight to the sources of these radionuclides. Aside from a high concentration event on October 15, 2015, the concentration of these radionuclides are low compared to previous releases. We attribute the high values observed on October 15, 2015 to storm mixing due to a typhoon that occurred shortly before sampling. We were also able to take seawater samples directly before and after an earthquake and tsunami off the coast of Japan in November 2016 and did not observe a significant change in the ratios of these radionuclides. Figure 4 shows an analysis we did to see if we can contribute releases of cesium-137 and strontium-90 to events with increased rainfall and wind. While high wind and rainfall coincided with peak cesium-137 activities, this was not necessarily true for strontium-90. Some correlation with strontium-90 may be due to contaminated water storage container catchment overflow during high rain events. Section 4, Conclusions. Cesium-137, strontium-90, and iodine-129 concentrations off the coast of the FDNPP have decreased over time, though continue to be above pre-accident levels. This may be due to the construction of decontamination systems. Strontium-90 and iodine-129 are sourced from non-continuous releases from the FDNPP and its surrounding storage tanks. High cesium-137 seawaters can be sourced from outside the FDNPP site and is affected by rain, wind, and tides. A high cesium-137 event on October 10, 2015 is likely the result of groundwater sources after storm conditions. Cesium-137 and strontium-90 activity decreased post-earthquake due to reduced inputs from the FDNPP and advection of waters to the open Pacific Ocean. Although not gone into detail here, we find that the cesium to strontium activity ratio is a reliable spatial tracer for water masses that have come into contact with FDNPP contaminated waters. Due to very low iodine-129 activity in the ocean and variable source terms outside of the FDNPP, iodine to strontium and iodine to cesium activity ratios are less likely to be effective oceanographic tracers. And again, if you are interested in learning more, you may refer to Kenyon et al. 2020 in Environmental Science and Technology. Thank you.